Hi there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
Sebastian Vettel, you're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it! Style! Fantastic! You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it! Yes! Yes!
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast and to round 11 of the 2014 season. It's an F1 favourite, Hungary. The Hungaroring made its Formula One debut in 1986. It's basically a street circuit without the houses, tight, twisty and almost impossible to overtake around. It's one of the slowest circuits on the calendar, so a good high downforce setup similar to those used in Monaco is important here. The circuit has 14 turns on a 4.381 kilometre lap. The race is 70 laps, which makes a distance for 306.63 kilometres. The track is 20 kilometres north of Budapest, a beautiful city known as the Paris of Central Europe. As it's always hot during race weekend, you have the perfect excuse to quench your thirst in the multitude of outdoor bars and clubs. Conveniently, there's also a water park at the track for those who remember to pack their swimming costumes. On this edition of the podcast, we're going to speak to Christian Horner, David Coulthard, and our head of strategy, Will Courtney. Plus, we have your chance to win some signed bits from the team, and we end with an exclusive summer mix from our resident DJ E-Rock. First, let's get on with an incredible race here today, and our man Daniel Ricciardo beat Ferrari's Fernando Alonso and the Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton to win a sensational Hungarian Grand Prix. Lindsay spoke to him exclusively after the race.
Okay, so Daniel, a win. Did you ever think that was possible today?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I thought, you know, especially with mixed conditions, I thought a win would be possible today. It definitely brings Mercedes, you know, into our hands a little bit. It creates a few more variabilities and safety cars. These sort of things happen in mixed condition races. So, yeah, you know, I was really pumped up for today. I was a little bit disappointed with yesterday. I thought we should have been a little bit further up, even though fourth isn't a disaster. But I was really hungry to get on the podium today. And yeah, the win obviously is even sweeter.
And what was your motivation going into the race?
I don't need much these days. I'm getting more and more excited about racing every race. Like, I just thrive off Sundays more than ever. So, I mean, yeah, as I said, I was a bit disappointed with yesterday, so that was still in the back of my mind and wanted to sort of make that better and capitalise on today. And, yeah, qualifying is important, but the points are on race day, so I knew there was still something to play for.
Okay, and so how does this achievement compare to your first win in Canada?
Yeah, it does compare to my first win. Really does. You know, the first win will always be special. You know, you can't deny that. But this one feels just as good. It really does. You know, when I crossed the line, everything felt a bit more normal, like I could absorb everything that had happened. Where Canada, it was a bit of a blur, you know. So in a way, I could enjoy this one a bit more. And the in lap, you know, was just fist pumping a lot more because I knew what just went down.
And is it right that you have some friends with you this weekend?
Yeah, so got a few mates travelling around Europe at the moment, and it was really cool. I mean, for obviously for them to see what I do, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in Europe and away from them, and you know, unfortunately, not really many of them have come and seen me in action, particularly since I've been in Formula One. But they picked a bloody good weekend, so yeah, we'll enjoy tonight.
And what is your plan for this evening then?
Plans for this evening are to enjoy it, you know, and we can now. It's a summer break. There's no race next weekend, so there's no secret. You know, I'm gonna have a few drinks tonight and enjoy this one as well.
And so how does this help now looking to the second half of the season?
It's gonna make my time off really nice. You know, it's gonna help me for the second half of the season, definitely. With I feel my confidence now is where it needs to be, so you know, this will assist with that. But I think it's already at a good level, so it's just going to motivate, you know, not only me but the team to keep trying and striving for more victories for the next part.
Okay, and final question, what's been the best moment for you this season?
You know, I'm very fortunate to say that I've had some amazing moments this season, you know, and for me to pick a best one, obviously I'd say Canada first win. But I mean, the podium in Australia was really special. The win today was also very special. I mean, yeah, I'm fortunate. Not many drivers, I think, can say they've had that many good races in 1 year, and it's only 6 months, and I'm already, you know, I've had plenty which I've been happy with. So Canada takes the pick, but today is today's the same.
Well done on your second F1 win, Daniel. P4 in Hungary went to Nico Rosberg, followed by Felipe Massa and Kimi Raikkonen, with our man Sebastian Vettel taking seventh place. Here he is after the race.
Difficult race, unfortunate with the first safety car. After that, the restart, we were in the wrong engine mode and I had no power, and lost position to Fernando and another car, and then lost a little bit the connection, so not a good race. It was a shame also to meet the safety car parking after the first corner, so our advantage was gone. After that, obviously, we lost the positions to the cars that stopped after us.
This is a very special place for David Coulthard. He once again covered the whole of this incredible race for the BBC. Rich went to talk Hungary with him and find out his highlight of the season so far.
DC, what an incredible race today. Daniel getting his second win of his Formula One career.
He's a champion in waiting, isn't he? Just an absolutely star performance and great breath of fresh air for Formula One, because you know that this is something that in his personality, even if he was third, he'd be jumping around and looking extremely happy, and I think this is motivational for the brand that is Formula One. This was all about strategy, and it was either a strategist's nightmare or it was a strategist's dream, because you're either going to be in a situation where you got it right or you got it wrong. Clearly there was a slightly different strategy played out by Daniel's car, and it's worked beautifully, but it wouldn't have worked if he hadn't been prepared to really get stuck in and make the passes. And that was brave stuff to do that in Lewis Hamilton, to do it around the outside in turn two. I think that this is not just ex Red Bull driver talking. I think that the paddock in general, and you can see Fernando Alonso especially showing, okay, he's disappointed he didn't win the Grand Prix, but he's absolutely respectful of what Daniel did.
It was very unlucky for Seb today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. For Seb, he had an issue, I think, at the restart, and it didn't really work out for him. And then when he was pushing, dropped a wheel on the artificial grass, which was still full of water, spun him around. Unlike Perez, he was skilled or lucky enough to get away with just a little kiss of the concrete. But that really compromised his race thereafter. They went for a very long stint in that last set of tyres. And sometimes it just doesn't work out for you. Right now, everything's falling into place for Daniel. It's not falling into place for Sebastian. It doesn't undo all of the great work that he has done over the last few years. But we have to acknowledge that in Daniel Ricciardo, we have an exceptional racing driver in a team that is just bringing out the best of him.
And just looking at some of the other drivers on the grid, we saw battles up and down, two safety car periods. Racing this season is as exciting as any other season.
Yes, absolutely. Remember back to the beginning of the season, everyone's going, oh, this is going to be a complete walk by Mercedes. Of course, they've had an amazing start to the year, and still the championship battle is between those two drivers. But by the development of the teams, you can see that they closed the gap. And again, today was not as much about outright pace. It was about teamwork and strategy and being in the right place at the right time. And, put that situation with a driver that knows how to push and is hungry for success, and you get a great, great race.
Yeah, now we're going to the summer break and then off to Spa. Are you going to be doing anything over the summer?
I'm going to be heading off on holiday with the family, which I'm very much looking forward to. Spend time with the wife and kids in the sunshine, and then I'll be actually doing a little event at Red Bull Ring, so slipping into my Nomex and feeling some speed again around that racetrack. And then it's obviously off to Spa, which classic Grand Prix track that's just going to play to the strengths of the Mercedes Grand Prix team. Williams potentially be there pushing them, so a lot of work still to be done for Red Bull Racing on those high speed circuits. But in a season and in a sport where you have to capitalise when you can, this is a great success story for Daniel Ricciardo.
And just before we let you go, we've been asking everybody what their favourite moment of the season has been so far. What's been yours?
I think this Grand Prix has been my favourite Grand Prix, because we had everything. We had crashes, which is part of Formula One, and the drivers walking away. We had great wheel-to-wheel action. We had different strategies playing out, drivers making great decisions, a beautiful example of teamwork in the pit stops. And any one of those drivers, had it been Hamilton from the pit lane, had it been Alonso, as it turns out it was Daniel Ricciardo, if any of those three had won this Grand Prix, they all would have deserved it, because there were some fantastic stories there.
Well, great, thanks, and have a good break.
Thank you.
Okay, competition time now. In this edition of the podcast, we'd like to ask you, if you could join the team for a day, what's the one thing you would love most? If you could join the team for the day, what is the one thing you would love most? Simply email your answer to social@redbullracing.com. We'll select the best answer to win a signed cap by Sebastian and Daniel. Be bold with your answers. Who knows? One day we might just make it happen. Strategy played a huge part in the race here today. Rich went to catch the man that masterminds ours, Will Courtney.
Well, very interesting race today. How did you find that from the team's perspective? A fantastic race before the summer break.
Yes, it's a nice way to go into the break. I have to say I'm finishing on the high at the moment. Very busy race. Lots going on today. Obviously starting on in the wet tyres and then going to dry for the rest of the race. Lots of pit stops, safety cars, plenty of action.
Yeah, no, it made the beginning few laps of the race really interesting. And then we saw the big crash by the Caterham. I think it was lap 8 or lap 9. And the scramble into the pits. Sebastian was very unlucky with that pit, or at that moment in the race, just on the wrong place of the track at the wrong time. Can you explain to the fans more or less what happened there and why Daniel came in and Sebastian stayed out?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much as you say. It was just timing. Seb had literally just passed the pit entry when he got the call to pit. Daniel was only another 4 or 5 seconds behind, but that was just enough time to get him into the pits. And obviously, it was the same problem for Rosberg, the same for Alonso, I think, who was with Seb. So they got caught by the safety car at turn one, and so by the time they came round and pitted, they'd obviously lost a lot of places. So suddenly Daniel's leading the race and Seb's a lot further back down the order.
After the second round of stops, I think there was another big crash by Perez, and then we saw Sebastian almost hit the wall in identical fashion, and then Daniel got fresh tyres and he just seemed to be really quick. When he passed Lewis on the closing laps, did you know he had won the race, or can you talk us through everything? Seb's spin, Daniel's overtake, the last few moments of the race?
Yeah, well, I mean, so we had the second safety car, and at that point it was pretty 50-50 what the right thing to do was, whether to pit or stay out. There was possibility of more rain yet in the race, so we decided to split the cars, pitting Daniel, leaving Sebastian out. For Dan, obviously that worked pretty well. Once the other cars had been pitted, he had some good fresh air that he could push on and really make the most of those option tyres. We were pretty unsure whether the guys who had pitted a lot earlier were going to make it to the end of the race without hitting a kind of a cliff on the tyres. So we knew we wouldn't clear those guys before we had to pit with Daniel, but it was really a question of whether he'd have then the pace on his fresh tyres compared to Alonso and Hamilton on the very old tyres, whether Daniel would be able to muscle his way through. And we thought he could, and luckily that turned out to be right. For Sebastian, obviously he was further back, stuck in traffic. The spin obviously cost him a couple of places, and really from that point onwards it was just kind of damage limitation. And so a shame for him that it worked out that way, but yeah.
Just as far as all the races have gone this season so far, is there one from a strategic point of view that has been head and shoulders your favourite above the rest?
Obviously today was a good one. There was a lot of strategy involved, a lot of tricky calls to make, so yeah, and nice that it panned out so well. There's been other, I suppose, not necessarily particular races, but little moments, like when we managed to get Daniel onto the one stop in Silverstone, which got him the podium. Other races where you've managed to undercut someone here and there, and it's all these little moments that just kind of make it a really good job.
Great. And now we're going to a summer break, it's a couple of weeks. So are you getting some downtime and going away and coming recharged for Spa?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good chance for all of us to catch a bit of breath. So a little bit of holiday in Portugal and a bit in Cornwall, so looking forward to that, and then back on it again for the last 8 races.
I'm sure the fans want to see more racing every weekend, so luckily we get a bit of a break. Sorry to all the fans, but we'll see you in Spa.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Alright, great, thanks a lot, take care, cheers.
Thank you, cheers, bye.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Before we go, Katie spoke to Christian Horner to get his final thoughts of the Hungarian Grand Prix.
First of all, congratulations on the win today.
Yeah, it was a fantastic Formula One race today. It had everything: weather, drama, pit stops, you know, last minute overtaking manoeuvres, and to come out a victor of that race is, you know, we got it right today. You know, and Daniel drove unbelievably well and pulled off some fantastic moves on two of Formula One's hardest races, and a fantastic win going into the summer break.
And how difficult is it on the pit wall when all those things are happening? There's weather coming in, there's late calls being made. How difficult is it for you?
Obviously, it has its moments because you're trying to navigate your way through it as calmly as you can. But I thought today the pit wall made the calls at the right time. And the only thing that we missed was getting Sebastian in. We called him in at the same time as Dan after the Caterham crash. But unfortunately, the lead group were just too far around the last turn to be able to get in the pit lane.
And when we went into the race today, we were starting second and fourth. What did you think might be achievable?
When we started second and fourth, you know, you got a Mercedes on the pole position. You thought, well, if we can get a podium today, it's going to be tough to beat the Williams. But, you know, to come out with a win, having driven past them and out-strategied them, you know, it's got tremendous satisfaction for the whole team, and it's a perfect way to go into the summer break. Everybody to get a good opportunity to recharge their batteries and come back fully revved up for the second half of the year.
And then looking back on the first races that we've had, what would be your highlight of the season so far?
I think this race, undoubtedly. I mean, Montreal was great to win that race. I mean, that was special as a track. We least expected it, but it was due to a retiring Hamilton and a problem with Rosberg's car. But here, they didn't have problems today, and we just had to get the job done as a team. And so to beat those guys fair and square today is very rewarding.
And everyone keeps talking about the factory shutdown. Just explain to us what that means.
Well, it means from midnight next Friday, we're not allowed to do any work on the cars, designing, manufacturing, or anything like that for a two-week period. So even sending emails is not permitted. So it's a great opportunity to shut everything down, give the factory a good clean, and everybody to have a well-earned rest with their families and recharge the batteries and come back fully refreshed for a busy second half of the year.
So that's it. We head off for the summer now, and the factory will be shutting down. It's a chance to recharge, reflect, and get ready for the remainder of the season. You can keep in touch with the team anytime, though, through Twitter, Facebook, and the website. All the details are on redbullracing.com. The team are all getting an exclusive summer mix from DJ E-Rock when they leave the factory next Friday. We're leaving you with a very exclusive teaser from the man himself. It's all to play for when we return to Spa in a month's time. Until then, take care.
Another day in a different world. Hard to believe that this is real. I dance and sing instead of walk and talk. Know that time would heal. And I changed my view from all angles. Ain't afraid of no one's eyes. Maybe we should, maybe we don't. Maybe we giving this a try. Won't you come with me? Right in the dark. To the stars. Won't you come with me? Right in the night. Won't you come with me? And shine a light. Came so far, or where we went wrong. I'm searching for your side, but your eyes won't hold me on. And you trying to tell what I can't understand. We kept on walking, unlearned to talking, and finally faced the end. Won't you come with me, right in the dark. Won't you come with me, right till the start. Won't you come with me, right in the night. Won't you come with me, and shine a light.
My beauty focus me on you. Ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh,
divido. Over you, ooh, you, ooh, I divido. Give me one reason why I should never make a change. If you take my hand, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all.
Far away, far away, in a difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream. One day, this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slaves, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream. One day. One day.